Thankful to the good Lord for allowing us to be here with you and to in this meeting. As your beloved pastor has spoken, I do feel like I'm in the house of my friends and with the Lord's people. So I sort of feel like a Eastern Presbyterian preacher up here in this big pulpit. I haven't been this high since my baptizing, I don't think. But very thankful that the Lord blessed you with this fine building and with a lovely church. And there's a difference between the building and the church. Macedonia has a lovely church and a lovely building. I have been in some Community Baptist churches that they have a very lovely building. I remember some time back, and very thankful churches be able to build a nice building, a nice facility. And someone said, "Have you seen their building?" And I said, yeah, I've seen it. I said, I'm real thankful for it. I said, they have a nicer building than we have. I said, but we have a much better church. Of course, I might be a little biased, but you have both here, and thankful for it, and thankful for your pastor, and do have a great interest in your prayers here tonight. Like to turn your attention to Romans chapter 8, and like to, since it's been some time since I've been here, let you know that we're still on track, and I trust that you're on track, and that your doctrine has not changed. And I'd like to just present the truth, the doctrine of Christ, maybe in just a little different way. I look at the gospel sort of like taters. You can fry them, you can bake them, you can sort of saute it, you can deep fry them and bake them. Whatever, and mash them, and it tastes good. And so we trust we'll be covering some ground you already know, and hopefully be presenting it in a way that it will remain with you, and that it might remain with your children as well. I'm sure all of us know something about organized crime, or at least we've read about it, we've heard about the Mexican cartel, heard about the Italian families, read stories about the Sicilians and stuff. And we sometimes hear that somebody's been arrested for the 18th time. You say, well, how could they be arrested 18 times, you know, and get away with it? Well, it's organized crime, because in organized crime, you have the person that commits the crime, then you have the policeman that's in the beds in cahoots in the circle as well. If it goes to the jail, then you have the lawyer that is going to get him out just in a matter of hours. And then you're going to have a judge that's, he's on the take as well. And there's an organization. And there's a lot of evil organizations that men conspire. They're called conspiracies. They conspire to do evil and wickedness. And a lot of times they think they get away with it, but they don't. And so we all know and understand that there are individuals out here that are working together to bring evil. There are certain individuals that like to see the downfall of this country. Mm-hmm. And they're working together behind the scenes, right, doing evil. They're not working alone, they're working together to do evil to us. Well, when we look at a larger picture, I'd like for us to look tonight at the 8th chapter of the book of Romans and realize that there are 17 things that are working together to bring evil and heartache and destruction to God's people. 17 enemies that are working together. See a lot of children here tonight. See a lot of young people tonight. And we might want to take the strongest 17 of you here tonight and put you over here. And you all could work together. And then there would be 5 people over here and on this side. And they're working together also. But these are working together not for evil, but these are working together for good. Now I want to ask you the question. When the 17 meet the 5, who do you think's going to win? Who do you think's going to win? Well, somebody might be saying, well, 17 against 5 sounds like the 17 might win. Well, if you read Romans chapter 8, you'll find out that there's 5 things that are working together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
And they overcome the 17 things that are working together for evil against God's people. And no one needs to be leaving out the door here tonight thinking that the 17 are working together with the 5, but the 5 are working together with the 17. They're at odds with one another.
That's right.
And so I hope you know what the 5 things are that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, as we read in Romans 8, 28. And we find that for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. We have the everlasting love of God in foreknowing you. And I trust me. If I didn't believe that God foreknew me before the foundation of the world, if I did not believe from the depths of my heart with all within me is that God loved me, I would have no business standing before you here tonight. But like the Apostle Paul, all that within me is, I believe it. That's my hope. That's my salvation. It's not something that's hope so, it's something that's real. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen.
And if you can go out these doors with a renewed feeling that Jesus loves you and that He died for you, then I praise be unto God, mission accomplished here tonight, that you would be revived and fed and be rejuvenated spiritually in the things of God. And so, what are these 5 things? God's foreknowing love and His predestinating us, and I hope you know what He predestinated you to. Now, He didn't predestinate you to be here tonight. You all know that, don't you? Oh, good. Because there's some that's not here tonight. I'm sure. But what did He predestinate us unto? Let's see, it's adoption. An adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. He's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's predestinated us unto heaven, into an inheritance, to an actual place. And so when we speak of predestination, we're not speaking of something that is awful or here in time. We're speaking of that which is eternal and glorious. And so predestination is a wonderful subject. And so whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And we heard a little bit about that this afternoon, did we not? The new birth, being made a new creature in Christ, being regenerated, being drawn irresistibly by God's grace, being risen with Christ, being made alive, passed from death to life. Sometimes people say, aren't those all different things? No, those are all the same thing described with different words. Just like you have 36 inches, you have a yard, and you have 3 feet. They all describe in the same length, but in 3 different ways. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in discussing with Nicodemus, He describes the new birth. In one way. He describes it another way. And finally He gets to the wind. He says it's like the wind that blows. And it's sovereign. And so our calling is that which works together for our good. And the justification which is by blood and that glorification in which when these bodies will be glorified, presented in heaven without spot, without wrinkle, when this mortal shall put on immortality and will live forever in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Now these things are working together for good. Now, oftentimes people will misread this and say that God is working these things together. It doesn't read that way. It says these things themselves work together for good to them that love God. Now those are the five things on this side. Now let's look at the 17 things on the other side. The question is asked, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You say, I thought you said there were 17. Well, hang on. This is just the first wave. Oftentimes in battle, generals will send a first wave in and to sort of soften up the opposition. And then they'll bring the veterans in the second wave and take the field. And so this is just the first wave. And it's a complete wave because there's seven things here that working together for the destruction, the misery, the heartache that brings tears and sadness, division, darkness, depression to the people of God here in the earth. And the question is asked, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? I'm probably talking to the people here tonight that might have some tribulation, some trouble, and distress in your life. If you just live life, it's going to come. It's going to be there. But what if that tribulation and that distress comes because you're an old Baptist? Because you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because you're a member of His church and His kingdom? And you believe in taking of the bread and of the wine and the washing of the saints' feet? There's people that will persecute you because you take wine instead of grape juice during communion. They'll talk about you. Oh yes. And because we have men as our ministers and elders and bishops in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes. About 30 years ago, I was in a hot discussion with this lady at work. And I mean, she was hot because we did not allow women to teach nor to have that authority in the church.
Amen.
Now, it's... Thank you, Brother.
Amen.
you got into a hot discussion because of that. But Scripture is very plain. I gave her Scripture after Scripture. The Apostle Paul lays down how we're to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord, the instructions of the church, especially there in 1 Timothy. And it says here about the woman not to teach, I might as well chase this rabbit while I'm at it. He says here, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. This is 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to assert authority over the man, but to be in silence. And why is that? He gives the reason. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Nevertheless, or notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they, that is her children, continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. There's a connection between the woman and the child that the husband or the father does not have. We won't get into that here tonight, but there is a wonderful salvation there between the mother with her children. I'll continue to chase this rabbit here tonight. I see Elder Sam Bryant back there. Whenever I see Elder Sam Bowen, sorry, brother Sam, Elder Sam, Sam Bowen back there. Up at Friendship, they had this saying that a crowing rooster, a whistling woman, and a crowing hen both will come to no good end. And I thought, well, you know, I never heard that before. And so I was down in the meeting in South Georgia. Brother Sam was there, and I said, I want to ask you all something. I said, I want to know if they're pulling my leg or what. I said, hey, I said, Brother Sam, I said, have you ever heard of a crowing hen? He says, yeah. Brother Sam has a PhD in poultry genetics. He says, yep. He says, they'll try to stretch their neck and try to give a crow, but they just want to give it about halfway. They'll just go, and I said, really? I said, you're not full. He says, yes. He says they have what they call a hormonal imbalance. I said, thank you. I said, I can't get wait to get back to Friendship. So I got back to Friendship, and I talked about some of these women who do not agree with the Holy Scriptures and trying to usurp authority over the man. And they're like those crowing hens. They do have an imbalance. God has called men to preach. He states the qualification for those men to preach. And we need to take heed unto that. Let's get back to the 17 things. I might be in hot enough water as it is. Let's get back to these 17 things. These things here, that people go, they're persecuted, and tribulation comes, distress comes, persecution comes. And often they'll come in that order. There'll be some tribulation, there'll be some distress, and then persecution will rise. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He did not say all who live will suffer persecution. He does not say all who live godly will suffer persecution. But he says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yeah, members of the old church have been persecuted down through the centuries of time, and they'll be persecuted until the Lord comes back in flaming fire to take care of all the persecutors that of the church throughout all ages. So we're going to suffer persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. That's the first way. Though you can see this in a natural sense. You see a country taken over by the Socialist Party there in Germany. I think Hitler was mentioned here today. And I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, Hitler's been burning for a long time down there in hell with that rich man. As far as I'm concerned, he's a butcher, he's a murderer, and murderers have their part in hell itself, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire at the final end. But you see what that man did, and his cronies working together. They brought tribulation to those people. They brought distress to those people. They brought persecution to the earth. And there was famine. And then there was nakedness. And then there was peril. And then there was sword. Millions, not only under him, but also Mussolini, and also Stalin as well. They there in with their men in power, the innocent, the poor, the helpless, the children, the widows, they died, they suffered. The question is asked, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall these things separate us from his love? Oh, he says here, as is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I have actually heard somebody who claims to be a Primitive Baptist say that it's these things, that these seven things, that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen, the person obviously did not read on, because he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." That's the reason we're more than conquerors.
Amen.
Some people have the idea that God's up there in heaven with, like, we're down here like puppeteers, and he's orchestrating things. He's good with evil. He's got the wicked pedophiles over here, and he's conducting them, and he's got the wicked murderers over here, and he's conducting them. He's got Satan back there on the drum. He's got the drunks and the harlots over there, and he's just orchestrating all this evil. Oh, listen, that's not the God that we serve. Oh, no. So it reminds me of the story of the Presbyterian preacher. He rear-ended an old Baptist preacher there, and the car just, boom, it's right there, you know. And the old Baptist preacher shook up. He got out of his car, walked back there, and looked at the damage, and Presbyterian says, "Well, you know, everything happens for a reason." The old Baptist says, "Yeah, it does." He says, "You were texting, and then you got distracted by that Hooters billboard over there, and that's the reason you ran in the back of my car. That's the reason it happened."
That's right.
And you don't blame that on God. You can wait till Sunday and blame it on God. Oh, no, God is not there orchestrating evil with good. Matter of fact, what does he command us as his children? He says for us to what? Overcome evil with good. You know how God himself overcomes evil? He overcomes it with good. And he's instructed us to overcome evil with good. He says, those that despitefully use you, he says, you love your enemies. You do good to people that do evil to you. You overcome evil with good. If you don't get there and work together with them, but you overcome it. Now here, the second wave is going to come against the children of God. And the first one that's leading the march is what? Death. Oh yeah, he's a big one, isn't he? That's a big enemy to the children of God. Read, I believe, over here in Hebrews that when before the Lord came, he said that all their time they were fearful of something. Hebrews chapter 2. He says here, to deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, there's God's people that are fearful of death. Afraid to even go to the doctor, because the doctor might say, "Well, you have a mortal disease." Well, listen, Jesus has made death a sleep for us, and we should not fear death, but yet naturally we do. So death comes up, and he thinks that he's going to take on one of those five things that work together for good. "Well, I'll just send Mr. Glorification out there to take care of death." when we're glorified, it says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
That's right.
Yeah, glorification take care of that old monster. And then it says here that neither death nor what? Life. You say, "Well, why does Apostle Paul mention life?" Well, there are some things that are worse than death.
That's right.
You ever see someone suffer with bone cancer? Job was suffering to such a degree, he longed for the grave. He cursed the day he died. He said, "If it was going to be like this, it'd just be better for me not even to see the light of day."
That's right.
He said, "This is terrible." And that ought to wake us up. I'm reminded of that man who laid there by the pool there waiting for the angel to trouble the water.
Mm-hmm.
Had
right.
No one to get them to the pool in time before someone else would step in before them. But Jesus came on the scene and healed him. Later on, you read that Jesus meets him and sees him there in the temple. And he says to that man, sin not. He says, sin not. Sin not, lest a worse thing come upon thee. You know that's what Jesus said to that man? See, Jesus knew his heart, the thoughts and intents of his heart. This man was in church. He'd been healed. He'd been delivered. You're here in church. You've been healed and you've been delivered. And Jesus comes and he says to that man, sin not, lest something worse come upon thee. There's things in this life that are worse than death. Neither death nor life nor angels. Yeah, those angels are working together for evil. Not the good angels, but the bad ones. I hope you all know there's bad angels out there. Bunch of them. There's 1,000 of them in one man. I mean, that man was in trouble. But they were still overcome by the voice of the Master. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I trust that you understand tonight, if God loves you, he always will. Death comes your way, persecution, tribulation, and it seems like all these 17 things are just sort of coming at you, at one time. You still have those five things that are working together for you. Death comes, you think of glorification. It may come, but my body be glorified. Let death come. My spirit and soul be conveyed to heaven. My body be laid in the ground and rest and sleep in Jesus until the resurrection morn. And this body will be glorified. So death, so reminds me of the hymn, I look at the monster death and smile, for he has lost his sting, and Satan trembles all the while. Triumphant, I can sing. When I think of these things that are working together against God's people, working together, conspiring together, they're working together for evil and not for good, I always want to think of the five that's working together for me. And I have confidence in those five things that work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. No matter what comes your way, the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to give us a very complete list. But no matter what you can think of, whatever life throws at you, whatever comes your way, you just remember that God, with these five things, overcomes these 17 things. And because of him and these things overcoming the 17 things that are working together against you, you will be in heaven. And you can have joy and peace and happiness here below. Sometimes people ask the question, why do Primitive Baptists, why don't they sorrow as other people do at a funeral? We're commanded to sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So why is it that trouble can come into their lives? And well, they realize that there's five things working together for their good in their behalf. And they can think about their new birth. They can think about their new name. They can think about their eternal inheritance. And when it seems like No one cares and no one loves. And no one drops by and sees you. All you can think about the everlasting love of God. And you might be naturally lonely, but all if you're filled with the Spirit of God and immersed in His Word, you can by yourself, you can sing, you can pray, you can have a little meeting right there with God and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people, well, how do they do that? But you know and you understand something about what is working together for you. And when you sin, you know you have an advocate with the Father. And you know that Jesus went to the cross and took care of that. And you love Him very much for it. Because without the blood, you and I and everyone else would be a goner. May God bless us to meditate upon these things. Never get them confused that somehow the five things have sort of given up and they're now working together with the 17 things. Oh, no. You just remember these five things are out here working together for good for them that love God. And these 17 things out here are working together for evil to bring heartache, separation. Separation is the subject under consideration. They're working together. Who can separate us from the love? They can separate us from family. They can separate us from the land of the living. They can separate us as persecution separated the Apostle John from the seven churches of Asia where he's persecuted, put out there on the Isle of Patmos, separated from his brethren. But they couldn't separate him from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in holy communion and service, as John said, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the Spirit, and thank God for the revelation. So remember, there's five things working together for good. There's 17 that's working together for evil. Now I'm going to ask you the question in closing. Who wins? Who wins? You know the answer to that. Thank you for your good attention.